I can remember going
to the old dance hall was there, and then when he built the new one, which is falling down there now, if you were.
But that's the new one.
Oh, that's still there. The dance hall.
It's the new dance hall. Okay.
Welcome to Vantage Points, where we explore the history of southwestern Manitoba. I'm Tayana Neufeld. The Souris River Valley is a familiar landmark to anyone driving along the No. 10 highway between Brandon and Boissevain. The countryside changes from the familiar wide open fields and country farmyards as you take the long, gradual descent into the forested Souris River Valley, across the bridge, and up the other side. If you look to the east as you're crossing the bridge, you see another bridge, much older, but still passable. Just north of this bridge was a ball diamond and a dance hall. It was known as Riverside. There are plenty of stories from the early 1900s of country dances. However, most of those dances took place in schools or community halls. The Riverside Dance Hall was neither, as it was on private property and miles away from the nearest town.
I can remember going to the old dance hall with my mom and dad. We went right up even when we were married. We've been married 56 years.
Today, I'm speaking to Earl and Wenda Wood, longtime residents of the town of Minto, which would be the closest town to Riverside, just a few kilometers south. Earl reckons that he started going to dances at Riverside when he was about 14, and over the next 10 years, he didn't miss more than 5 dances. They were held every Friday night during the spring, summer, and fall.
I was born in 43, and I started going, as I say, in the 40s with my mom and dad, but then I started going when I was about 13 to the dances, and it was sort of stupid because my mother should have known better, but she was brought up in this community, and she thought it was fine to go down the river hill, because we lived just, and, you know, that was just down the river, like, you just went. Like, she didn't seem to think there was anything wrong with it. I think it would have been me. I don't know.
There was lots of people there at 13.
I know there was, but we shouldn't have been.
There was no alcohol served at the dance, but there was a lunch counter.
And you bought your lunch. They always had ham sandwiches and maybe salmon or something. Sandwiches were a quarter, and when we used to
75 go, cents to get into the dance, and you could.
And then a sandwich for a quarter. Yep. So for $2, we could go to the dance all night and have our lunch.
A couple.
The other end of the hall had a nice big stage where the band would play.
They were just a
Gordon Hathaway.
Hathaway and the Deloraine Rhythm Airs, they were called. And in the era that where we'd go jiving,
really,
and we jived a lot and that type of thing. And very, for many, many years, it was Gordie Hathaway.
Local histories provide some details of the story that go farther back than Earl and Wenda's memories. The tarred No. 10 highway was completed at Riverside in 1930, and soon afterwards, a group of businessmen from Brandon built a dance pavilion just north of the newly completed cement bridge. Rural electricity was still a dream of the future, so the length of the pavilion was strung with gasoline lamps. What a sight that must have been! In 1931, Lisk and Maud Campbell opened a convenience store and gas pump next to the pavilion and took up residence. Dances occurred once a week, especially after World War II broke out in 1939. The dance hall provided necessary entertainment for servicemen and locals alike. Some weeks, the pavilion would be bursting with over 200 people. A dance was held every week until Maud died in 1947. Lisk then sold the pavilion to Peter Balin, who eventually tore down the old building to construct a proper dance hall.
Pete Balin?
Pete Balin did.
Mm-hmm. He bought it from Lisk Campbell.
But he built the new
hall. And he built the new hall. Like, this is the new
hall. It was quite a nice.
Like, at that time, it was quite nice. Good floor, good dance floor. Really nice.
Good hardwood floor.
Actually, at first, it was nice. You know, when you think back. And
yeah, lots
time.
Of people came from Brandon and all over the dances there.
And you know, you talk to people now, and they'll say, I met them at Riverside.
People came from all around to the dance hall. Seeing as it wasn't located in a town, people from Brandon, Nesbitt, Minto, Ninette, and Killarney all met and danced there together.
Yeah, so and everybody
there used to
went.
Be some scraps.
Yeah, they ought to fight.
Oh, tell me about that.
Wasn't a very many nights that there wasn't pretty near one, or usually could be one.
What were people disagreeing about?
Usually women.
Wenda tells me how the operator, Pete Balin, used to drive to Dinette to pick up two carloads of women who worked at the Dinette Sanatorium.
And he'd bring them, you see, for the guys that didn't bring girlfriends, but then they could all seem to manage to get the ride home. He just
see, that
kinda,
was a big draw to get, you know.
To get guys there, because they'd always have girls,
ten single girls there. That,
young girls. Well, a lot of those girls were between the ages and 17 and 20, you know. But Pete would do this and then bring these girls.
Then
so there'd be
would,
lots of guys there. And they, you know, because the place would be full. You'd be dancing all the time. Like
the dance hall that Pete Balin built is still in its original location, barely standing, but it can still be seen from the road.
When did it actually all go to...
Well, I don't think there was ever any dances there after.
No, after Criddle.
Well, it went downhill.
And then it just wasn't the same. And, you know, all of us were older and getting married. And not that I was only 18 when I got married, but I mean, you know. We were married in 61. And we went a few times after we were married, did we not? Mm-hmm. But then I think it closed soon after that.
After its years as a dance hall, the building was used as a barn. It's since fallen in on itself, resembling nothing more than a pile of old, weathered lumber. Only those who remember dancing late into the Friday evenings of their youth would recognize it for what it used to be. Thanks to Earl and Wenda of Minto for sharing their stories with us. This podcast is a project of the Turtle Mountain Thirst Plains Heritage Association of Southwest Manitoba, Canada. To find the rest of our podcast series, please go to our website, www.vantagepoints.ca. Our theme music is by Montreal producer Buffalo, that's B-U-F-F-L-O. Go check him out on all major streaming platforms.